So I'll just start off by saying, first of all, thank you. Church, thank you for making camp happen. There's a lot of you guys that financially supported this thing. And I know some people don't want their names mentioned, and I get all that. I just know this. God honors that. You can't outgive God. And we're not the gospel of prosperity type people. We're not going to sit here and tell you if you give, God will make you rich. But God tracks all of that stuff. And I'll tell you, anytime I've given over the years when I give, I'm just like, God, I'm trying to be a blessing to others. And God says, you can't outgive me. I'm going to keep blessing you. So thank you. I pray that you get to experience some of that blessing this morning as you hear and see what God did firsthand. We'll have a few testimonies, a few people just sharing what God did in their heart at camp. So what I'd like to do is give you a glimpse of what took place. You got to watch that video. It wasn't all fun and games. I know Aiden, man, dude, you didn't know you were getting caught. You got caught is what happened. But also, you guys were praying. And that was obvious because the ground was fertile. I mean, these hearts were ready. And by the time really Wednesday night hit, it was just like, it's obvious that there's prayers going back at home. And there's been a lot of prep put into this. So we couldn't have done it without the church's support. The local church is really the behind-the-scenes hero of this camp happening and what God did. So having said that, I came into camp, man, it was about 3 weeks ago, and I started seeing all these numbers of students saying, hey, I want to come to camp, and I'm here. And we had like four or five visitors talking about coming. And this was the first year that I finally just – I wasn't trying to focus on numbers, and I can say this with a clear conscience, but I wasn't fixed on getting as many students as we can to camp because of my pride. And I even asked Carrie, I said, do you think in years past, maybe it's my pride, I'm just trying to get people to come because I want as many students as we can? And I'd be like, but I want them to hear the gospel, and I want them to really get fired up and make a decision for Jesus. But it's like this year, a guy was saying, just chill on that. Let me take care of that. You just focus on, even if you got five students coming, make it the best camp ever. I want to move. And it was freeing. It was really freeing. And so God did this. Last year, we had like 21 signed up to come. We only wound up bringing 18. We just had some last minute fallouts. Some got sick. Some just couldn't come. This year, we were able to bring 24 students to camp. And I think God was just saying, let me take care of all that stuff. And I think it's only going to multiply because we don't want to just see salvations. We want to see disciples made. And when students become disciples and disciplers, it multiplies. It spreads. And that's the kind of church that we are. So we're going to be talking about that throughout the morning. So I just thought God's teaching me, drop your pride. You know, just trust me. Let me take care of that. And we were asking for convictions for our students. My prayer was that we'd have some young ones with some convictions so that when they go back to school, other students would be like, man, there's something different about that guy. She, I respect her. I don't agree with her, but I respect her because she's got convictions. There's just a major famine of that in today's world, in today's adults, let alone our youth. And so that was the prayer coming into this, and God answered some prayers there. So very thankful for that. So we arrive Monday. We get there on Monday evening, right in time for dinner. Got a problem, major problem. Our coffee's not there yet. I mean, Elisa had our coffee shipped to go straight to the camp because our supplier didn't have it ready for us to bring. And so I'm like, awesome, praise the Lord. And the coffee wasn't there. So what are we going to do? Our AC in the main hall is broke. I mean, and praise the Lord, it wasn't like 90, 100 degrees, but it was still warm. When you get, you know, 60, 70 people in one room, a room like this size, it gets pretty hot. So the AC in the main area wasn't working right. The grass all week, the grass was just tall at this camp. I'm like, what kind of camp doesn't mow their lawn? I mean, we do activities and stuff outside. And this was a camp that the other church that we connected with, they found it and they said, hey, this is a great camp. Even they were like, we kind of messed up. This wasn't the greatest camp. But here's my point. Oh, by the way, the food, not complaining, but we've had better camp food. It's camp food, man. They did run out one afternoon, and our poor camp speaker wasn't able to get biscuits and gravy. It's just like, for real? That's our camp speaker. So we let them have it a little bit on that. It's like, it'd be different if we didn't pay for it, but we paid for all this. Here's the point. Camp facilities, that's not what makes a good camp. You know, it's kind of like we teach our teachers in Sunday school. We can have awesome curriculum. That don't make an awesome Sunday school class, right? What is it? It's going to be the leadership. Spirit-filled leadership can take a lame curriculum. They can take a lame camp facility and give it a grand slam. And so some of the camps I've been to when I was a youth, they were way worse than the camp that we were at. And yet that's where God captivated my heart the most. So my point is, we got over all that stuff. Most of the students probably couldn't even tell. It's probably us leaders, us spoiled leaders that were like, where's my coffee? But God is good. All I can say is it was just neat to see that we had a good team of leaders with us who walk with Jesus. Even students getting up and going to the bathroom. That I feel like at our church that don't happen a whole lot, but with this other group, there's a lot. There's some younger students that were with us. And so that first session, it was distracting because like every 5 minutes you got somebody getting up and going, and it's people who sit up front. And it's like, if you're going to have to use the restroom, I get it, but sit in the back. And so we just said, hey, from here on out, here's what we're going to do. So it's not a distraction. You know, sit in the back. Let's steer clear from getting up. And that's all they needed to hear. And it for the most part worked. And so it was a great camp. We had a great team of leaders. Our speaker, Mason, he was up here a couple vision conferences ago. And I can say this about Mason Wilson. He genuinely loves the youth. I just love seeing his heart as he's talking to our youth. He's got dry humor. So some of our students were like, I don't get it. But then there's others that just chuckle and they like it and stuff. But so he's different. Mason's not like your ball of fire type speaker. He's not dynamite, but yet the dude gave the word. If you're a parent, look at the notebook, if your student will allow you to, of the notes they took. Because it's just the word, the word, the word. And I think that's one reason that, you know, between the power of the Spirit of God, people praying, and the word of God, that's why decisions were made. And so lots of good scripture. I think the table and group discussions afterwards were probably the fuel all week, because that's really where we were able to say, okay, now how are you going to apply this? Let's make some application here. So what I want to do is just briefly walk you through. Since he gave so much, I'd probably spend 4 hours up here laying out what he gave us. So I'm just going to quickly sum up what Mason gave us. And then while I'm doing this, we'll have different testimonies of people who God used that morning or that afternoon to really speak to them. And they'll get up and share that. And then we'll close it out with two passages that we looked at all week. And then we'll have baptisms. Sound good? All right, let's pray. Let's get into it. And then let's just ask God to speak. So, Lord, we had an incredible week at camp. And ultimately, to you be all the glory. Lord, you are worthy. And if anything, it was really for you. And these lives, the decisions that were made, Lord, the lives that were touched, it's ultimately for your honor, for your glory, so that Jesus would be magnified. And so, God, take this service. I pray that you would just wow us all, not with us, but because of you, and because of how good you are, and Lord, how long-suffering that you are. You're the one who endured, and that's why we even had this camp. And may we follow your example. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the theme of this was endurance. And Monday night, our first service that we had, we kicked it off with the music. And guys, the music was incredible this year. I mean, it was just what we get every Sunday. We're spoiled. I hate to say that. And I'm biased because I mean, I've been at this church. We moved here in 2006. But sometimes I'm just like, I just wish that some of our church people would go to another church. This sounds arrogant to say that, but I'm just like, and then maybe they'll come back and be like, I'm thankful for what we got. But I was just praising the Lord at camp for the band, for the music. I'm just like, they're really bringing it. Well, Monday night, it wasn't so loud yet. And it usually takes some time, right? I mean, Terry, you know, they weren't singing super loud on Monday night yet. And we knew that they'd have to get warmed up and get comfortable. And the message that night was on before you can endure, you have to know Christ. So Mason he felt the Spirit of God leading him to really just lay out salvation. You got to be saved. You can't grow unless you're born. And so that's why to be born again is really the biblical terminology of to be saved. And there's so much confusion there. I mean, isn't that funny how sometimes you ask somebody, hey, you a Christian? And they say, yeah. Well, when did you become a Christian? And usually the answer they'll give you, one is, well, I grew up in church. Wrong answer. That's not what I asked. That's not, a Christian is one who's been born again. Christ has come inside of you. It's a one-time deal. Or the other answer is what? I was baptized when, wrong answer. That's not what we asked. When did you get saved? So, Mason did a good job laying out salvation Monday night. And he took the students all the way back to the beginning in the garden to say that man screwed up. Adam, he lost God's image. And so that's why Christ came, to restore the image. So let me give you this object lesson that he did, because I was like, I'm using that one. He did an object lesson. Can I get three volunteers up here? You're not going to have to talk. Yep, just you three. Matthew, Zach, Landon, why don't you guys come up? So I like this object lesson. Come up to the stage. What he did was he said, here's what happens when you get saved. And why don't we have Landon, you're going to represent us. So you're going to come right over here. So Landon would be like you and me. And this is us. And then we're going to have, you're going to represent Jesus Christ. You're going to come in the middle. And then you're going to represent God the Father. So we got God the Son, God the Father. Now here's what happens. When somebody gets saved or they get born again, the Bible says Jesus is the mediator. The only way Landon can get to God the Father is through Jesus Christ. That's the hope. That's why Jesus came and died. He's the only sinless sacrifice. Fully God, fully man. And so Landon has to go through Christ to get to God. Praise the Lord. When you become a Christian, you got direct access through Christ. That's why often when we pray, we say, in Jesus' name, amen. We're acknowledging that it's through Jesus that we're even getting to God. Does that make sense? Now, what's also awesome is when God the Father looks at us, who does he see? He sees Jesus. That's gold right there. That's the message of Christianity, is you become perfect in Christ. You say, yeah, but I still sin. Yeah, we still got fleshly sin on us. We're still going to fall. But at the end of the day, when you're born again, you're royalty. You become a part of the family of God. And that is the only reason you're going to get to heaven when you die, because of Jesus, because God the Father sees Jesus when he sees me. I'm so thankful for that. So give them a hand. So I loved some of Mason's object lessons and illustrations he used. And on Tuesday morning, you know, there really wasn't much movement Monday night from the students. And guys, we're trying to be careful. You don't want to manipulate. I mean, because you want the Holy Spirit to manipulate, and you want to be God's spokesman. But you got to be careful, just with people are getting tired, and you can, you know, use their emotions to say, hey, who wants to get saved now? Pray this prayer. Repeat after me. We don't want to be like that. We want God to do the stirring. So we asked a question on Tuesday morning right after service, and that was because Mason talked about having a relationship with God. And we said, who in here does not have a relationship with God? Would you be honest enough to raise your hand? And we had about 7 or 8. I couldn't quite see them all, but there's about 7 or 8 students boldly raise their hands. You got to start somewhere. So it was just nice to get a little bit of a gauge for people being honest. And by that night, we had everybody singing loud. And maybe it was the Dr. Seuss rap that helped that, because that was also that night. We got some good beatboxers. John, you're good. Mike's the master beatboxer here. Maybe next Sunday morning you can show everybody your skills there. But we got some good Dr. Seuss readers in here. So, but anyways, right after that, we did funny, silly stuff each night. And I just like that. It's good to get the students comfortable with each other. But that night, though, the singing was loud. From then on out, I feel like it got louder, the praise and the worship. And that was just neat to hear and see. And again, I'm thankful for the leadership, because everything truly does rise and fall on leadership. That's something we as a church believe. And so Mason's theme on Tuesday, though, was the enduring Christian finds their strength in Christ alone. If you're going to endure, then Christ has got to be your strength. And that's just so good for, if you've been saved for a while, your strength isn't going to be in what you're doing We tend to make it that often, right? Our relationship with God is based on what we're doing for him. It shouldn't be. It really should be on Christ alone. And what he did was he told us the story of Mephibosheth. I don't know if you guys remember that dude, but he's a guy in the Old Testament. He was crippled whenever he got dropped. He was lame. He couldn't walk. And so here's this poor guy under a curse. And King David, he sees him and he says, I'm going to take him into the royal family and I'm going to allow him to sit at my table and eat bread daily. It's a beautiful picture of what God did for you when you got saved, what he did for me. He basically took a cursed man like me because I got the curse of sin and I was born into it and I can't walk. I have no strength on my own. And God says, and I'm adopting you and I'm giving you a new position and letting you sit at my table. You get to eat my bread. You become royalty. Just like that illustration we saw where, man, we're now royalty in the family of God. It's beautiful. New birth, adoption. So that was the story he gave, but here's the point he made. Notice that Mephibosheth still was lame even after he was had a new position. He still couldn't walk. He still had no strength of his own. Christians, we still got to rely on Christ for our strength because we still have a reproach. We still got a sin nature. So it was just a good reminder. I really like that illustration of how we need to continually rely on Jesus to be our strength. Paul always needed that reminder in the New Testament. All right, Lord, your grace is sufficient. Every time I rely on my own, there's got to be a thorn in the flesh humbling me. And we know this stuff if we've been walking with Jesus, but it's just a great, great reminder. So, and then he ended the message that night by saying this. This might have been the quote of the week. Don't be a constipated Christian. Don't be a constipated Christian. And here's the application. If you're like, what in the world? 2 Timothy 2:2 says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, that they may be able to teach others also. The point he was making is, if we are going to get discipled, if we're going to learn the word, especially from another believer, then we need to be faithful and pass that on to other faithful people. Guys, we get food every Sunday morning here. I mean, we get the word. What are we doing with it? Are we just allowing it to sit inside of us and just build up to the point where we're not releasing it? Because that's what happens with a lot of churches, with a lot of Christians. And so that is just a great reminder that 2 Timothy 2:2 needs to be a reality. So at that point, I know, Mike, you said that you had something God gave you on that. I think it was that night with discipleship. So come on up and share what you got. And then right after Mike, Tricia, where are you at? Let's have Tricia, you pop up right after that, all right?
You know, I'm 53 years old. I got saved at camp when I was a 15-year-old young man, and here I am still to this day. I met my wife when I was 15. We dated when we were 15. We've been together ever since. And we need to get married, though. That'd be important. But no, I'm saying that to say I want you guys to know that when I go to camp, I don't say, like, let's go to camp. Let's take these kids to camp. And you are young people, man. You're students. You're young men and young women, and the decisions that you make today just last a lifetime. And how many of us got in trouble in our lives, and some of that trouble still lingers, and it was back when we were in junior high and high school, some of the habits and things and things we did, you know. So I guess I want you to know, one of the things I think that has kept me alive all these years is I'm a learner. So when I go to camp, I just open up a notebook, and I take notes during the messages. And I can't even find out if you're sleeping, because I'm not paying attention to you. You know, there was some of that going on there, especially that other group. And people kept saying, wake that kid up, wake her up, wake her up. I'm like, my gosh, man, pay attention, man. Take some notes. Maybe you wouldn't know if they're sleeping. If the dude ain't snoring, let the dude sleep. Sleep's an opinion, ain't it? That's how I feel about it. If I'm putting people to sleep, man, something's wrong with me. But there's something he said I liked when he kept saying that TLDR, that it's too long, didn't read. I got problems, focus problems in my own life. If I have to scroll a post, I don't read. If I have to scroll an email, I have to print it out on my printer and put it in front. I don't know what that is about me. Maybe it's a little bit of focus problem, but I also thought if it's too long, I don't listen. And I learned that too a little bit. There were some nights, man, them messages was like, my gosh, these are going long, man. I'm struggling, you know, to get it out of there. But that night that Bo's talking about, the thing that God spoke to me about, he just basically spoke on, you need a mentor. Do you remember that when he said that? That particular night of, you need a mentor. You got to pass it on. And so I'm not saying you guys need a mentor. That night, God spoke to me. I'm 53 years old. I have a lot of people that look eye to eye with me. I don't have very many older men in my life that are still faithful and walking with Jesus. A lot of them have fallen by the wayside. So I made a decision that night that when I come back to Monmouth, I'm going to find myself an older man that I can learn from, that I can talk to, that I can seek counsel. Maybe a guy that's been in the ministry longer than I have. I don't know if you realize this or not. I'm only 53 years old, and I'm the oldest running pastor in several counties around here. Years ago, it wasn't that way. There was all kinds of churches with older men that were wise and raised their children, have grandchildren. And there's men in their 70s, and they're still preaching and leading a church. And, man, we're losing. Those days are fading, man. Times have changed. And so I just want you to know I'm looking for a mentor, and I encourage you to do the same. And then the last thing that I really learned at camp, I really liked was, he basically, you know, today it's a big thing of being an influencer. A lot of young people want to be an influencer on social media. And so he just basically said that we've become the influenced. We let people on social media influence. We've become influenced. And as Christians, we are supposed to be the ones doing the influencing, you know. So I like this phrase right here. It really stuck out. Operate above the influence. The noise that's out there, the word that's out there, sometimes the dominant thing in the culture, it's wrong. I'm going to live above that. And instead of being so influenced, I'm going to spend my time influencing other people. So that's what I got out of camp, Patricia.
Okay, so Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday night, Mason had this quote from Penn Jillette. I don't know if anybody knows, but it's from Penn and Teller. He's an atheist. And so this convicted me a little bit. Everybody knows I'm really bold in my faith. But I had a situation at work where it knocked me down a little bit. I had a patient who threw a fit about my Christian music, and to the point where she tried to bite my fingers when I tried to take x-rays. And Patty knows, she even started playing, I think, some devil worshiping music. Because Patty, she's my coworker, she's Emily's grandma. She came in like looking at me like, what are you playing that music for? And I'm like, it's not me. It hit me hard. It kind of made me not want to share anymore. It scared me a little bit. And I'm 47 years old. So I look at you guys. And you guys have school, and you have all these kids now that don't believe in Jesus. And honestly, this was the first time that I might have patients in my chair that didn't believe in Jesus, but this is the first time I had opposition in my chair. And so I just want to encourage you guys. I know it's rough. You guys have it rough. Like, you know, I grew up and I went to school with Christians, and none of them said anything to me. And they didn't invite me to camp, or they didn't invite me to church. And so I encourage you guys, it's going to be hard, and you're going to face it. People are going to shoot you down. Do it anyways. You know what? And when he shared this, it really just made me realize that, you know what? It might have hit me and it might have knocked me down, but God took care of it. This girl got dismissed from our office. I didn't have to deal with her anymore. But he had this quote. It says, if you believe that there's a heaven and hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. How much do you have to hate somebody to not prophesize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? Guys, it's gonna hurt sometimes, but God's gonna take care of it. I stressed out that I was gonna have to have that lady in my chair again. And you know what? I was like, I don't care. When she asked me to turn my music off, I told her no. And you know, I could have easily lost my job. You know, my boss could have came over and said, you know, we can't be doing this. And I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to lose my job, because if it's that music that is causing her strife, God's getting to her. So I want you guys to be encouraged. I know it's hard. I know that you guys have a lot of kids that probably haven't even heard what Jesus has done. It's going to be awkward. You're going to get sweaty. Your heart's going to race. I was shaking. My hands were literally shaking. She tried to bite my fingers, and it silenced me for a long while. God doesn't want us to do that. He's going to take care of that. So please, I encourage you guys. You have a lot of friends that don't know Jesus, and I know you love your friends. Don't be scared to share that, because I would really hate for you to not see your friends in heaven. So that, as a 47-year-old woman, convicted me. So I really, really just want to encourage you guys that I know it's hard and life is really different now, but really, really share, because you can really make a difference in somebody's life.
Good word from both of you guys on that quote. Whew. That just goes to show you that, I mean, that's coming from an atheist, one who claims he don't even believe in God. And he's like, I got more respect for Christians that actually act on what they believe than for what most people would call themselves as Christians. I mean, that's pretty convicting when an atheist has to wake us up like that. So, good words. So that was Tuesday night. We get into Wednesday morning. And, you know, guys, I wake up on Wednesday morning. I'm already exhausted. I mean, I'm not really a morning person, but that morning, and I got to bed recently. Us guys, what time would our lights go out normally? Between 12 and 1? Not too bad. The girls were up like till 3 every night, I think. But, so we got lucky, but, I wake up and I'm like, it's our 20-year anniversary, my wife and I, and I'm not trying to put the attention on us. This is just a little side note. I'm very thankful for Carrie. I'm thankful that what God's done in her life over the years. And what I loved about her, I'm watching her that morning and that day, she's thrilled to be at camp ministering. And she's exhausted. There's a lot of other things she could be doing with her life, and yet she was happy to be serving Jesus with her husband at camp. And so I just want to praise the Lord for her and the fact that God brought us up here, and he's good. So that's how I started off my morning. We got to go to Walmart for our 20-year anniversary. We snuck out to Walmart. At this point on Wednesday, table discussions had been going all right. Still no major movement yet, but I'm asking all the leaders and our people and even the HBF crew, like, hey, what's happening? Is God really stirring? Or have any decisions been made yet? I mean, are you seeing the Spirit of God at work? And everybody had good things to say, but just nothing major yet. Like, yeah, conversations are good. People are starting to be honest and open up and get transparent. And then Wednesday night hit. And at this point, I feel just a heavy conviction, like, we need to do some type of invitation tonight. There's a time to do it and a time not to. And I think you got to leave that stuff to the preacher, right? I mean, sometimes on Sunday mornings, we'll do it. Sometimes that can be manipulation. At the end of the day, you got to go with what the Spirit of God's saying to do. That's why we got to walk in the Spirit. So I'm feeling this, and as I'm feeling this on Wednesday night, boy, the message is going long, to where I'm looking at the students and I'm like, we got a lot of people that are just like exhausted. They'd love to just be able to say, amen, we're going to go play some carpet ball and, you know, air hockey and this and that. But it's like pounding, pounding, pounding. And so Mason's key theme that night was the enduring Christian needs proper perspective. And here's one of the quotes he said. This really fits with our church. Without persecution, the church grows stagnant and stale. When people get comfortable, they lose dependence on the Lord. Persecution grows the church. And he was giving us perspective of what's going to have to happen for endurance. And so in the middle of his message, I'm just praying, God, I'm looking at, he's got 3 pages of notes here. And we're only, you know, we're like an hour into the message and there's still another page and a half left. So I'm like, God, would you just cut this short if it needs to be? Your will be done. Your will be done, God. But I'm thinking what's best for the students. Here's what's beautiful. Mason cut it short with that. It was like the Spirit of God just, he got up there and he's like, guys, I think we need to cut this short and we need to, just move on. Cause he had a whole nother page of notes. And I just love how God does that stuff and allowed us to do an invitation. And we did an invitation and it was really based. We used the story of Mephibosheth. Mike came up and sang a song on that beautiful story of what God wants to do for us. He's inviting you to the king's table. And guys, that was where we really finally seen the floodgates opened. And it was really God, his Holy Spirit at work, prompting a lot of the students. We had all the counselors just stand up and go to the back. And we just said, okay, at this point, if you need to make a decision, whether it's meet Christ, because all week they'd been hearing about meeting Jesus Christ, maybe you need to be baptized. It's time to be obedient and follow the Lord. You've been saved, but now it's time to grow. Maybe you need to be discipled. Maybe you just need to stand in the gap. Whatever the case, because we had a lot of students in different spots spiritually. And so it was beautiful. And let me just ask this question for our students in the room. If you made a decision to receive Christ and you were saved on that night, raise your hand. Hold your hand up high if that was you. Amen. We got three right here. Amen. So three here, and we had one. We had another visitor who couldn't be here this morning. She also accepted Christ as her Savior. And it was just so moving to see, especially when you know some of the backstory behind some of these ladies that said, I'm ready. I'm finally ready. And so I'm so thankful for that. We also had a huge response of just other big decisions that students really just felt led, like Lily's going to be getting baptized. And I just remember she came up that night, her and Nikki and Lily, you know, she's just got a big beaming smile on her face. And here's what she said. She goes, I want to be discipled. I'm ready to be discipled and I want to be baptized. And I said, do you remember what I said to you, Lily? I go, Lily, I texted you about 6 months ago and I asked you in that text, hey, what do you think about student discipleship? And I never got a response. And I felt the Spirit of God saying, don't push. There's sometimes you got to just say, hey, what did I ask you? Answer me. But I'm like, I'm going to let the Spirit of God work in her heart on that one. And this is how I knew that God was answering prayer, because you were just bold and you said, I'm ready to be discipled. I've been praying for that. I wish I could show you. I'll show you later my prayer journal and you'll see exactly God's answers and prayers there. So that was really moving to see that. And then that same night, we had a bonfire right afterwards, and it was kind of a little bit disorganized at first, you know, but it got quiet. Maria was able to lead some songs and singing, and everybody was singing loud at the bonfire, and in between songs, we were like, what did God do in your heart tonight? And we'd have a student say, God saved me from the lake of fire tonight. I'm like, amen. And we just rejoiced. And there was other decisions made. I had some girls come up to me from Harrisville and say, I was too scared to say something in front of everybody, but here's what Jesus did. I mean, I was just seeing God at work. And then all of a sudden, Cora Shimon, she comes up to Carrie. She says, Carrie, can I talk to you? And they go aside. And next thing we know, Cora's like, I want to obey the Lord in baptism. So it was just so sweet to see. This is the Spirit of God moving. Sometimes it's a positive peer pressure as well. From when you see God working in other students, it's like, I want that too. I need that. So a lot of that happened on Wednesday night. And this is where Zach, why don't you pop up here real quick and you share with us, because you said yours was on Wednesday, you know, through the message that Mason preached. So take a moment and just share what God spoke to you about.
So I just want to thank God really quick for camp and what we had, because, you know, he convicted my hearts and I know he convicted many of yours. So I just want to thank God for that. Next, I want to thank our counselors and just the people in the band who put on camp and just, you know, even though the facility wasn't good and even though, you know, the food, you know, gave some of us diarrhea or whatever, you know, the spiritual food was good. Spiritual food was good. Yeah. So yeah, the spiritual food was definitely good, and so I just want to thank y'all for that. And then finally, I want to thank you, the people who prayed, because, you know, God has been working before camp, he's working during, and he's going to work after. So I just pray that you'll keep praying for the campers who made decisions, because I made decisions, and just pray that they'll keep those decisions in their hearts and just work on those. So a little bit before camp, I was kind of feeling like I wanted to get to a point in my walk where, you know, me and God, we were good. You know, there was no struggles or anything. But, you know, that's not going to happen because, you know, Christians, we got to suffer and endure. So, so we had a Sunday school discussion and somebody said in it, you know, if you're ripe, you're rotten. If you're green, you're growing. So, you know, as Christians, we don't want to be stagnant Christians. We want to keep growing in the Lord because, you know, there was one quote, and I think that's probably my favorite quote from camp, is like, you're never going to outgrow your need for Jesus. And that's very true because, like, you know, God's our strength, and that was one thing he was convicting me on. So it was on the third night, you know, had the campfire, and we learned about, you know, like at the start, I asked God, you know, what's my next step of faith? What do you want me to do for you? And throughout that, you know, we learned, you know, a good soldier for Christ endures. We learned that, you know, I think there's a thing like the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We learned about, you know, the laborers of those fields and what they do. And so by the end, I felt God, you know, he was saying, you know, just suffer, just labor for me. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, where you're at, what you're doing, but you need to suffer for the Lord. So just throughout this camp, you know, I just need to keep growing, need to keep suffering for the Lord, and, you know, whatever he has me do, just do it good for him. And so, you know, if there's anything you can get out of this little testimony, keep suffering, keep glorifying God, and, you know, stay on fire for him and just keep enduring for him. That's what I have.
Yeah, for sure. Suffering was an underlying theme just because obviously endure. So it's going to take some patience and some suffering. So Thursday morning comes in and he talks about how the fuel to endure is really meditating on the Word of God. And that was nice because we then had we had Zach, Josie, and Becca. They got to share with their own peers, with the campers, just a little bit in their lives. Like, hey, we're not perfect, but we have learned in our life, here's how we've endured a little bit. We've gone through some hardships, and it's always been the Word of God. It's always been our relationship with Jesus that's gave us that endurance. So I'm telling you, when you guys were speaking, that's when the students were really glued. They were engaged and listening, and it's so powerful whenever their own peers are speaking to them. So learn from that. Everybody in this youth group, you got to speak to the other peers because that's what drew me in. When I seen other youth had a relationship with God, I'm like, this is awesome. It's not just for adults, and it revolutionized me. So that was neat to see our graduates get up and share. And then Mason talked about that night, perspective for the enduring Christian. And that's where we got to look at the heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And probably the best part about that, go ahead and Jordan, turn to that slide. There's a slide, a meme that he showed. And on that slide, everybody's giggling when they seen this. I mean, you just see giggles, but you got the early church versus the modern evangelists. And on the early church, this is the quote. Feed me to the lions if you must. Rip me limb from limb. Dip me in tar and light me as a torch for your dinner parties. I will not forsake the assembling of the Lord's people. I mean, man, that's the early church. That's the Hebrews 11 type Christians, the hall of faith. Then you got the Laodicea Christians. They say, I have a rumbly in my tumbly because I ate too many wings last night, and I really don't think it's safe to go back yet. I can't make it to church today. And I know it's kind of funny and silly, but in reality, it's a little bit convicting because that's our culture. And so his whole point was, man, let's learn from the Hebrews 11 hall of faith, and let's be like the early Christians. Let's learn from that atheist, and let's stand for what we believe in. Let's toughen up a little bit. Can we not? I mean, you got sniffles. We had a few people with more than sniffles. I mean, they had head colds but I liked that they made it to service at camp and they were like, I need this. I need what God's saying. So let's just toughen up a little bit more spiritually and physically on that kind of stuff for what really matters. But, he then talked about how when we run with patience, he gave a beautiful illustration of a baby walking. When a baby is walking, what's going to happen when it takes its first steps? I mean, come on. How many times has Elsie fallen now? I mean, She falls continually. Do you guys get mad at her when she falls? Do you spank her? That'd be silly. It'd be like, what in the world? She's going to fall. And it was just neat to have that perspective because God the Father, we always think that he's mad at us. We fall in sin. God's, no, he's cheering us on saying, you did it. You walked. Let's get back up. And it was really freeing to see that angle. And so he talked about that. That was really with Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. We'll turn there in a moment. But I just love some of his illustrations he used because we're always concerned that we fell. God's just up there cheering us on. So that night we finished what was called the Amazing Race all week. Luke and his wife, that was the youth pastor from HBF, they put together like a cumulative fun race where two from our church and then two from HBF got to join. Did you guys like that? Yeah, it was really neat. It was some of it was a little bit athletic, a lot of team building, just a lot of competition. Everybody loves competition. And so they did awards at the end of the week. And then we closed it off with a big ice cream bar. And Luke cracked me up. He's like, are we ready for some ice cream? And everybody's cheering. And so it ended that way. And then that's where that picture of Aiden where he's just slap happy. I mean, I think everybody had too much ice cream that night. But don't write the Holy Spirit off yet because there's something else I'm going to share with you about Friday morning. But Josie, why don't you pop up here? Because you said God really spoke to you. Mainly Thursday was kind of the central theme of where he spoke to you. So she's going to take a moment and share.
I went into camp. I mean, I'm kind of similar to Zach. I was saved about 10 years ago. My first camp, I decided to get baptized. I've been through youth discipleship. Even before camp, I started the process of getting discipled in our adult lessons. So I just kind of went into camp saying, like, I don't want it to go in one ear out the other, knowing I've made some of these big decisions before. So, but God did speak to me, and I did say once in discussion with Trisha, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, I said it felt as though, like, God is giving me a big hug because he gave me so much encouragement, reminders, and advice for my future. Most of you guys know in about, like, 18 days, I'm moving away for college. So it was mainly through Wednesday evening, Thursday morning, and Thursday night. I'm not going to go through all of it, but Wednesday evening, Bo said the TLDR was an enduring Christian needs a proper perspective, seeing the world for what it really is, and operating above the influence. So some quotes from that night. I always had my favorite quotes, like, written down. So if you live godly, you will suffer. Persecution doesn't hinder the church or us. It grows it. It's a badge of honor to be persecuted by the enemy. And we endure for the sake of the unsaved. So that in of itself was super heavy on my heart. And then he opened up Thursday morning talking about delighting and meditating on the word of God and how it's fuel for the enduring Christian. So a lot of popular words and beliefs nowadays is follow your truth. And he said, don't follow your truth, follow God's, because the world has no truth. And he also gave an illustration of be like a cow. If you don't chew, you cannot properly digest. And then be an influencer, not influenced. And then Thursday night was also very convicting for me. He preached my favorite verses, which is Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And it's the enduring Christian gets perspective by looking at those who have come before. So some of the quotes from that night is don't live life for yourself. The weight of the world is going to be constant. You need to lay it aside. When we focus on ourselves, we lose sight of the mission, and you will never outgrow your need for Christ. So based on those messages and the quotes I took away and the conviction, I made about 5 goals for myself for my future. And even though my next step is college, I know many of you are going to school this next month. So my first is have a mentor and someone I can go to give me godly counsel. Number 2 is seek out good Christian friends who can keep me on track and encourage me. 3 is to continue getting in his word daily, but not just that, but be more purposeful. I need to meditate, pray more, and make sure I'm delighting in the word of God. 4 is try my best not to live life for myself, even though that's what a lot of young people are taught nowadays. and constantly lean on God and seek his guidance. And 5, keep running with patience. And then on top of that, find someone else to pour into, because that's also very important. I know I'm not the wisest person always, but I am old enough to where I can find others that could use advice or godly counsel. So,
man, that was awesome. Josie, I might have you take those 5 things. We'll print them and give one to all of our students. That was good. Yeah, man. So I don't know if you guys can tell, but God is speaking through these messages, through the word. And like I said earlier, it wasn't even all like super loud and energetic preaching, but the word went forth and Mason's heart was very revealed as he was preaching. So so thankful for that. So let me wrap this up, because Friday morning now approaches, and I was so delighted to hear the news that there's one more person that wants to follow the Lord baptism. And God had been stirring in her heart, and it was actually that next morning, and that was Howleen. And what I love about Howleen is it was a year ago at camp last year that you decided, I'm going to make Jesus my Savior. I'm going to bring him in, and now you want to follow him in baptism. And so, and everything Howleen does is calculated. Right? So this isn't just on a whim. This is because she's feeling the conviction of the Spirit of God. She says, I want to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. So excited about that. So we're going to baptize those 3 young ladies right afterwards. And then Mason wrapped it up with the question of this. This is Friday right before we came home. Why be an enduring Christian? Why? And he really used just the verse in Ecclesiastes 12, which is really, here's the purpose of life, folks. Fear the Lord and keep his commandments. That's the purpose and meaning. That's why we do it. And so that's what we were made for. And so I think Mason, he did a great job just with his outline and what he gave us all week. I mean, it was good gold. It was substance. And as you heard from our students, God moved in their hearts. Is there any other students, we're pushing it on time, but that you would just say, I got one thing I got to share. One thing I got to share. You want to do it from right there? Or you want to pop up here real quick?
Okay. So obviously I didn't have this planned, but I was just thinking about it last night and this morning. And that, so this is my last Sunday here. And so I kind of just was thinking of what I can get out of this camp to push me forward in life. And so I wrote down on my paper, I wrote down if you seek out God. But if you're a Christian, then it should be when you seek out God, he will seek out you. And so during camp, I really tried to just really focus on what Mason was saying, make my own notes, and I was seeking out God. And he definitely seeked me out. And one of the biggest convictions for me was, Mason said, like, the last, like, morning or something, he reminded us, or I think it was him, I don't know, but he reminded us that we spent, like, 4 or something hours a day reading God's Word, listening to his music, like, being in the Word. And so that convicted me because, like, sometimes I choose not the best music to listen to or not the best things to read, or I decided to go on like social media instead of like I should be reading the Bible or studying or whatever. And so that convicted me. And so I wanted to make the change in my life to start just listening to like Christian music. And that's like a big change. And to try way more to like really focus on God and his word, and even listen to any like podcasts or stuff I try to do is listen to that. So I just would say, like, if you're ever feeling convicted about maybe you're spending too much time, but you don't really know what to do because it's kind of just a habit. Even me, like, I drive a lot for my job. And so changing the music to something Christian themed, and it really does work, because even this morning I woke up with a song stuck in my head and I was like, God, I'm wanting to start doing this a certain way. So can you please put another song in my head? And immediately it was a Christian song, and it just uplifted my spirits. And so I'm just excited of that like conviction I got, so that whenever I now move on to my college, I'll have a goal
in my walk with God, and I'll have a goal to like really focus on him and even put the music on in the background and really get involved in my new church. So I'm excited about that. And I just, that was a conviction that I had from camp.
That's a good conviction, and don't want to talk about her moving out though. Anybody else? Okay, let me give you guys two passages. These are the two main verses, and then we're going to do some baptisms. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. If you're taking notes, you can just write this down. This is really what Mason, the verses he used, and this is what God laid on my heart just to encourage myself, and I hope it encourages you. 2 Timothy 2, verses 2 and 3. It says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." There's one point that goes with this. If you want to write this down, it's this. Making disciples is hard. It's that simple. Making disciples, it's supposed to be hard. Why else would he say, therefore? See the therefore in verse 3? That's transitioning from what? Verse 2, which would be what we would say is our discipleship verse. It's the DNA of MCBC. It's the fact that we don't want to just invest in people so they can say, man, I'm biblically smart now. No, it's so they can take it and pass it on. Not just pastors and preachers and leaders, common ordinary people. That's what Jesus intended it to be. That's called discipleship. And so as you take it, you find out, are you faithful? You're after it. Let's meet once a week. I want to pass on to you some things God has given me. And discipleship is not just lessons. A lot of times we have 16 lessons here, but it's more than that. Discipleship is life. It's accountability. It's saying things sometimes you don't feel like saying. I didn't want to have to say this, or it's opening your heart when maybe you don't really feel like opening your heart. Right? It's investing even whenever you're busy. And I mean, but it's beautiful because there's so many blessings that come from that. And so I just think it's interesting. It's not a coincidence that you see the word hardness. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Just study that word hardness sometime in scripture. Most of the time it's connected with hearts. You got to deal with hard hearts often. I feel like as a church, we're constantly dealing with just, man, that guy's heart is so hard. That girl's heart. What in the world is happening? And it's out of your control. And our hearts are broken. And there's times where my heart gets hard and I got to watch out for that. But we see that over and he's saying, you got to endure that hardness. Continue. There's a verse in 2 Samuel 23:10. It's talking about one of David's mighty men of valor. It says, he arose. He smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave into the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day and the people returned to him. And so what a beautiful reminder of how keep your hand on the sword, endure. Of course, the sword is the word of God. And whenever you're tempted to stay away from the sword or get weary, cleave even harder. Stay biblical the whole time. It's easy to want to compromise and say, well, too many people are getting mad, so maybe we ought to just, careful, keep your hand firm on the sword. And so what a great reminder for me this week as we're constantly seeing this verse is the fact that when making disciples becomes easy, we're probably doing it wrong. Otherwise, he wouldn't say endure hardness. And so I'm thankful for MCBC. I'm thankful for our crew. I was thankful to even hear the camp staff just say, wow, the fact that you guys have so many adults that would take off work an entire week to be here. We don't ever see churches do that. It's usually a weekend deal because that's all people can do. Sacrifice. I'm not sure the students realize the sacrifice that took place behind the scenes. It's enduring hardness. And it don't matter if they realize or not because God knows. And God's the ultimate one who we're seeking to please. And so, I'm thankful for that. So making disciples, that's what camp was really about. That was actually, guys, what I kept on seeing. Mason's talking about discipleship and you guys who went, did you hear him talking about how his pastor invested in him? I'm just like, He would not be here today if it weren't for discipleship. That's really what it's about. We want to see people grow. Yes, you got to start out by being saved. We want to see some growth and spiritual maturity. And so when making disciples becomes easy, I think we're doing it wrong. So the second verse or passage is Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 1. Josie referenced this. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and that sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." And so the second point, the first one is making disciples is hard. The second point you can write down is that's why we keep looking to Jesus. We have got to keep looking to Jesus. Stop looking at the negative and look at Jesus. Why are we like the 10 spies? We always look at the negative and the problem. Let's be like the 2 spies. I'm talking about Numbers chapter 13. The 2 spies who said, "Lord, I'm looking at you and what you said." We are so drawn to the negative, and I'm convicted. That's why I'm laying this out to you, because this is what God did in my heart. And notice the verse says, "Lest ye be wearied and faint where? In your minds." How often does our mind get jacked up? We have head problems, man. The devil likes to mess with our heads. We over-exaggerate things and things that we grow weary in well-doing. We're often ready to throw in the towel. That's just the facts if we're honest. And it's usually up here before it comes out of our mouth. And so what he's saying is consider Jesus because he's the one who endured. That's the only way that we're going to continue to stand. How do we physically get faint? Well, think about this. He's talking about fainting and growing weary. And oftentimes I look at some of our church members. I'm like, man, I hope she don't grow weary in well-doing. There's a reason the New Testament encourages not to let that happen. Well, physically, we get faint and weak when we stop eating. That's just the facts. The very first time you see faint in scripture, Esau was faint because he was hungry. What happens whenever you're really faint and weak? Sometimes you make stupid decisions. I mean, he's the one that basically for his own birthright, he's like, "I'll take that pot of stew." He didn't care because he was listening to his belly. And so, the same thing goes spiritually. How do we get spiritually faint? This is simple, guys. And this is what we were reminded of at camp. It's a lack of spending time with Jesus. It's a lack of looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's when we lose battles. So I was reminded that, Lord, you're my strength. Just like Mephibosheth, I got no strength on my own. I'm in your family, but I'm still lame. I still can't walk. And so it makes me cleave to the sword. It makes me got to cleave. Like Josie shared with the youth when she spoke, she said, throughout these last 3.5 years, yeah, my family helped me. My church was nice. I had some friends, but the main thing that sustained me was my relationship with Jesus. And it was so good for our youth to hear that because it's got to be your own relationship. And so Mason preached it. Our fuel to endure is meditating on God's words. I mean, guys, that's what's going to happen whenever like Jeremiah, we read this in our church reading, when he's ready to quit, right? He's faint and he's weary. What happened? God's word was in his heart, burning in his bones. There's something about God's words. That's why you got to get saturated in it continuously. That's your fuel to keep you going. And so Psalm 73:17, that's that psalm where Asaph, he's looking around. He's like, it ain't fair, man. Why does the wicked get all the good stuff? I live a crappy life. And as Christians, sometimes it's easy to look at other people and compare. And Asaph says, it wasn't until I came to the end. And he says this, until I went into the sanctuary of God, when he looked unto Jesus, because, right, we set our affection on things above, then understood either end. Then my head problems finally went away. I had understanding. See how that works? God will give you the he'll straighten the kinks out of your head when you just do what you had to do, when you go where God wants you to go. And so great reminders for me And, I mean, the bottom line, Mason said this, I think he told you this, Mike, in just some side conversation. Satan hates the church. He hates the church. I think our church can attest to the fact that he wears out the saints. It says that in the book of Daniel. Boy, he wants to wear us out. He wants us to grow weary and well-doing. And so what a great reminder that we need to keep looking unto Jesus. Let's stop looking at what the devil's doing. Let's look at what Jesus is doing. That's going to be our fuel. That's ultimately what's going to keep us. Stop focusing on the mountains, right? But we focus on the mountain mover. So that's camp. What we're going to do now, let's pray. Let's ask God to help our students to truly act on some of these decisions that they made. And even if God spoke to you this morning through a testimony or through just anything from a scripture that was opened, let's adjust our lives because we don't have much time left. Jesus, thank you for an incredible week at camp. Thank you for the lives that were changed. I'm so thankful for our crew, not just the leaders that came with us, but also the students. Lord, you hand-selected all 24 of the students and even the 26 that came with HBF. And God, it wasn't a coincidence that every single one of them got to sit under the preaching of your word two times a day, that there was conversations that happened left and right. And Lord, I'm asking that you would still stir. Like Mike said earlier, camp is not over. May we not just be Sunday morning Christians, but Lord, may we continually get excited. May that fire grow and spread. And so Lord, give our students boldness. Lord, I pray that they act on the convictions that you gave them. And I pray that they love lost people enough to tell them the truth. And so God, may we be different. May we be different after this last week of camp. I'm so thankful for these three young ladies who are going to get baptized. And so, Lord, we just pray for a hand of blessing upon them, Lord, as they get to just share a little bit of their story and what you did and what drew them to this conclusion. So, God, we love you. We want to rejoice in all that you've done and what you're going to continue to do. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.